Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us. 13 minutes past 9 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, the 23rd of May. Let me introduce our panel to you and we'll get started. But before I do that, let me remind you that you can be a part of our conversation. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. We go to letter several times during the course of our conversation as we wind our way through the stories for the day. We welcome your input. WAMC, it's panel at WAMC.org. Let me introduce the panel to you. Rich Honan is here, corporate attorney and our dear friend. Good morning,
good
sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm
he's
well.
Also
how are
a bit
you?
Of a football player.
Yes, and he seems to be limping, but that's we won't get into that.
We said 60-year-old men should not be playing football.
Speaking of very good friends, David Soares is here, the Albany County District Attorney. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm just here to keep an eye on the Berkshire Mafia.
Okay. Nice to me. Well, allow me to introduce the Berkshire Mafia right now. Jen Smith is here. She is a reporter for the Berkshire Eagle. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. I'm like, call me Cookie. I don't know.
Call you Cookie? I have a question for you. Are you going to write a great story, as you always do, on Mary Burley, who is now the new director of education?
Yes, she is at Norman Rockwell.
At Rockwell. She's phenomenal.
Yeah, I've known Mary for a long time, back when she was doing a before-school program teaching kids to unicycle.
She is a special person.
Wow. That's very cool. A course for that? That's cool.
Wow. The unicycle
great.
Course.
Man, well...
We have fun in the Berkshires.
That is...
We do.
Unicycling mafia members, David. Pretty
that's
cool.
That's how they put hits on you. They throw books and literature at you as they're riding in their unicycle.
All right, let's talk to the mafia boss.
Yeah, what do you want?
Alan Chartok, good morning, sir. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm good. I'm good, but we have something so exciting going on here this morning, Joe. As you know, we're coming closer and closer to making that $500,000 so that we can get the $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation. However, here's the bad news. The good news, we're getting closer. The bad news is not close enough. $270,000, about $200,000. I can't read those other numbers. So that's pretty good, except that we need $500,000 to get to $25,000. So we're just asking everybody to do it, but we need an incentive. So we're going to do something that probably we shouldn't be doing, Joe. Why don't you tell everybody what it is?
Okay, you get, this is very exciting, you get a pair of undated lawn tickets to the Boston Symphony Orchestra or the Boston Pops at Tanglewood. This is...
Wait, you mean for the whole summer?
Yeah.
So and you mean you could go to the Pops or you can go to the, and you can do anything you want?
It's 24 concerts in all you choose from. You get a pair of tickets to one of those 24.
Right.
Depending on your gift, if you give $500 and you get five pairs, you can go... five times. See
and
how this works?
I don't think you can do what Alan said. He said you can do anything you want. I wouldn't. Well,
we are giving.
There's rules on the lawn. There's rules.
For an extra $50, right? Is it $50 you could get the blanket?
Yeah.
Then you could do anything you want. What?
Thank you, Adam, we're just all biting our tongues here.
Thank
right?
you very much for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Please tip your waiters. Okay.
We're still tripping over the Spitzer Foundation.
Yeah.
But, oh, jeez.
But that's... I just...
Okay, now you've done it, Rich.
Yeah,
now you're going to have to deal with
good.
Me.
It's all good.
God almighty. All right. So we have 24 concerts that you could go to with these undated lawn tickets to the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And it is June 24th to the August 26th is when Tanglewood will be active. They're going to be active for much longer than that. But as far as the concerts eligible for these tickets. So you can even go to Tanglewood on Parade. How cool is that? Tanglewood on Parade is August 7th. The only thing it's really not valid for is the popular artists concerts. Everything else, the BSO concerts, the Boston Pops concerts, you're set. A pair of undated lawn tickets to the Boston Symphony Orchestra, it's $100. And there are options that if you want to go on our website or talk to a volunteer on the phone, you can, as Alan mentioned, the blanket would be, you can give the picnic blanket, the picnic blanket, for $150, or we have beautiful tumblers, wine tumblers, for your lawn experience that could be included as well. So,
but Joe, does the tumbler have a lower center of gravity, making it less likely to tip?
Yes, it does, Rich.
We encourage tips.
Yes.
Well, sign me up.
That's right. And you get two of them, so you can toast. That's
very
good. So all of this is going on because we have a we have an amazing challenge of $25,000.
We do, and there are only 500 pairs of these tickets. And so when they're gone, they're gone. Don't be calling me up.
Right. So now we have – I had a note. Did you – anybody see the note? Our lockbox is currently at $270,000.
Yeah, I tried to say that before.
Oh, okay. Well,
but not well.
It's $270,327.15. Now, we have until June 4th to get the $25,000 challenge. And to get that, we need to make $500,000. So we
need to make
a lot of money.
Here's the bad news. We're not close enough. We're not close enough to getting to the $500,000 mark, and I'm scared. We had a bit of a kerfuffle the other day when somebody who was a constant critic called up and said, "You're not fooling us. You're going to make it. We know you're going to make it. We know no such thing." Scares the hell out of me, to be honest with you. And getting to $500,000 from 270 is a long way to go. If everybody does one little thing themselves, we'll be fine.
So you have to do your thing. And remember, every dollar we make now is a dollar we don't have to make during the actual fund drive when we are holding up programming and taking over the airwaves. There will not be a roundtable panel. There will not be Morning Edition. There will not be All Things Considered. There will not be a Northeast Report, all the shows that you love, because we will be raising funds. But we don't have to get that far if we make the money now. That is the beauty of the lockbox.
And one other point, Joe, without the $25,000 from our friends at the Spitzer Foundation, that would be $25,000 more we'd have to make.
Is that like a match? Do you have to reach a certain amount to get?
Yeah, we have to have the $500,000.
So you make $500,000, then they come
and
up
then
with
we get the $25,000, and then we would only have $475,000 to go.
Do you have to do that by the
time? June 4th?
Okay.
Well, you are paying attention.
I am.
No,
excellent. I actually,
I'm
a numbers guy, and I noticed last time I actually noticed that the velocity had slowed a little bit because last time I was here,
you
were kind of. Further along, you had less than 270, but it would seem to be moving quicker.
And now
it slowed down a little bit over the week. So.
Mein Hart is having,
if only Trump would tweet more, your guys would come up with more money. I think he's been quieter than usual.
This is quiet.
I find Rich to be very helpful now ever since a certain faux pas that occurred a few minutes ago.
Well, I have to say that, but he's right though. We're just like one semi crisis away from making our goal. You're right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You can never tell. I mean, if there is some kind of natural disaster that garners the attention of the masses, then you're.
For example, the firing of either Rosenstein or Mueller would do it.
I hope to God that doesn't happen.
Me too.
And we don't want that to happen.
No.
Alan has predicted that it will happen. I don't want it to happen, but if it is going to happen, if it could happen in the next week, that would be awesome.
This has nothing to do with Trump. But if you have a rat in the corner and you approach it, what do you think it's going to do? It's going to bite you. It has nothing to do with Trump, of course.
The biting rats.
I don't understand why you need to offend the rats.
All right. It's all right now. So eyes on the prize, folks. We need your help. WAMC.org. You can give us a call. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC.
One last question.
Yes.
Who was Eisenfries?
I don't know.
You just said Eisenfries. Eyes on the prize.
Eyes on the prize.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think he was somebody you went to Bronx Science with, I think, in 1922 or whatever.
I was going to take a bad guy in a Mike Myers movie for 200.
Very good. Good for you. All right. So it is we're going to right now just think about this, the importance. Go to your computer, WAMC.org. Give us a call, 1-800-323-9262. We've got the tickets, the undated lawn tickets for Tanglewood. Now, normally we would give these away during the fun drive, but because the fun drives have been so blissfully short lately, we have no guarantee that this one will be. But we, so far, in the last year and a half since something happened, we have had these. No,
they fly out the window. These are the one thing. I can't tell you how grateful we are to our friends at Tanglewood. They have been so supportive of this radio station. They don't have to do this. That's a lot of tickets, folks, but they've been wonderful. They're good friends. Mark Volpe is the best leader, I think, of any eleemosynary organization of all times. They're just great.
The all you have to do, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. The important thing is just give whatever you can. But for $100, you get the pair of tickets, the undated lawn tickets to Tanglewood. There are other packages available if you talk to your volunteer on the phone or you go to our website, WAMC.org. It's all spelled out there. It's very, very easy to do.
Whatever
it won't
you
take
do.
You very long. 1-800-323-9262. And my God, you know, if we could be close to $300,000 by the end of the day if we just everybody.
Well, we better be. Otherwise, we're in trouble.
I can tell you right now, the last time I was here, the thing that caught my eye about the whole package was the wide open mouth is capped off by an easy sip, push on plastic lid. That's in the description of these tumblers, right? And as much as that, you know, attracted me, it was Alan's invitation and the way that he framed it that really had me going. He said, you know, stop by my blanket and say hello. That's what. And I imagine him saying this, you know, during the 60s. I imagine him saying this during the 70s. And it was like, stop by the blanket.
You know,
and
back when
say,
it was in black and white.
Hello.
I can remember him saying.
It's just a great line. I mean, I think I'm going to use it.
You know, Roselle's father was a bit of a pack rat, and he would collect things. And one of the things he collected was a 1941 opening day at Tanglewood with the most incredible program. People, Bernstein and Kusevitsky and all these other guys. It's amazing what a great institution that it was, is, and was.
Well, we welcome you to check it out and to help us out, WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and pledge online, or yes, we have operators standing by, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. We have items to get to going here.
He always has the best lines. I love that line. We have operators standing by.
That's,
I just
that
want to
actually,
say that once.
That actually.
Well, you can say it. Well, so I just got a message from the front office, and it says, "This is to the staff. Please log in if you can. We're getting a
ton of calls.
A good volume of calls right now." Well, we want to keep that going.
There you go.
See, don't you see?
Don't you see?
So the operators. So we're looking for new operators.
I just,
David.
I just love it. I just love that
well,
line. I've always
it.
Wanted
you
to
can say it. Go ahead.
Operator standing by.
Well, no, actually, Joe and I have robbed that a long time ago. From what we used to see as kids, it was a group called Lewis Aluminum.
Perhaps. We were kids together.
Back in the day, you know?
Back in the day, Lewis Aluminum, and they used to say operators are standing by. So that's the joke, don't you see?
Now, for 100 years, or
that's the difference in our age.
At least 10, because Alan and I have been talking about this. I have desperately been trying to find the Lewis Aluminum commercial where it says operators are standing by. And there are so many of these websites that have old commercials on them, but I can't for the life of me find it. If anyone out there happens to have the Lewis Aluminum commercial with operators are standing by, let me know, because I've been looking for it forever.
Someone will.
Yeah. You know, you never know. You're right, David. I've been talking about, because when I went to Camp Bronx House, don't you know, there was... We used to go to the Friendlies.
We used to
go to Friendlies in Great Barrington. The Friendly, of course, we used to call it. Go over to the Friendly. And they had a concoction called the Awful Awful. The awful.
Wait a minute. Let me just say here, as a Pawtucket, Rhode Island guy, I'm a Newport Creamery guy, and at Newport Creamery, we have awful awfuls. Now, I know Friendly's just happened to copy Newport Creamery.
Whatever. I was trying to make a point. I was trying to make a point here, and that is that one day a box arrived at our home on Hollenbeck Avenue in Great Barrington, and I took it out, and there was an old awful awful cup. So you're right. There's always somebody who has
something. Somebody knows.
So I just want to help David here and just put your mind at ease, because when I put awful awful into my search engine, and then discounting the porn sites, I got... The first thing that came up was
Stormy Daniels' experience and description of the event.
No. Was the Creamery? Was the Newport Creamery?
There you go.
Yeah. So this is the awful. Awful is frozen ice milk, right? Whole milk and flavored syrup. Is that correct?
That's correct.
No, that's not correct. We had this for years at the...
it's like a frappe or a frap.
For years. And then they changed the awful awful to something else. Probably because they were going to get sued by the, you know, your group.
By the Newport Creamery.
Yeah.
That's why we have the lawyers at the round table this
morning. That's right, the lawyers.
I feel like I fell into a Herman Wouk novel.
Speaking of which...
We'll get to Philip Roth in a little bit.
Say,
yeah.
Boy, is that a loss.
All right, so it's awful, awful. It's a drink, says the cop. Okay, We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll actually do a show for you. But in the meantime, we need your money. We need your concentration on the lockbox, WAMC.org. It's undated lawn tickets to Tanglewood.
Plus tumblers.
Yes, plus tumblers if you want them. They're an add-on. But, yes, you can get the tumblers. You can get the blanket. You can do all of that stuff. And you can even fill the tumbler with an awful awful.
With an awful awful.
That's right.
And it will keep it hot or cold for hours.
Hours and hours and hours. Well into the after intermission.
Symphonies upon symphonies.
I could be your sidekick.
I would love that, actually. It's the awful awful, and but we can make it better if you just call WAMC at 1-800-323-9262 or go online at WAMC.org. We will be back right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We promise you we'll actually get started with a discussion right now. We were talking about making money, which is desperately needed for this program to continue and for all of our programs to continue here on WAMC and for WAMC to continue. So the lines are loaded. People want their tickets. We only have 500 pairs. It's WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. But as promised, we'll talk about what's happening in the news. The North Korea meeting is still a story, obviously, because June 12th is the date that meeting was expected to happen. Now, the president has opened the door on Tuesday that there may be a meeting, there may not be a meeting, but there could be a meeting, but maybe not a meeting. But if it happens on the 12th, it'll happen on the 12th, and if it doesn't, it could happen later or not at all.
Capiche.
All right. There you go. He also said that he was backing away from his demand that the North leader, Kim Jong-un, completely abandon his arsenal without any reciprocal American concessions. The president's hint of flexibility came after North Korea declared last week that it would never agree to unilaterally surrender its weapons, even threatening to cancel the much-anticipated summit meeting between Mr. Kim and Mr. Trump scheduled for next month in Singapore. Mr. Trump's statement seemed less a policy shift than an effort to preserve his date with Mr. Kim, but while the gesture may avoid a swift rejection by Mr. Kim, it shows that Mr. Trump is willing to give up what for months has been his bedrock position in dealing with the North, and it demonstrates that 3 weeks before the June 12th meeting, the White House is still groping for a strategy to negotiate with a reclusive, suspicious nuclear weapons state.
Nothing like an objective news story, huh?
The scale of North Korea's program, Mr. Trump said, would make it difficult to dismantle in a single step. It would certainly be better if it were all in one, he said. Does it have to be? I don't think. I want to totally commit myself. The president's comments delivered as he welcomed the president of South Korea to the Oval Office. And in the latest move in a battle of wits between Mr. Trump and Mr. Kim, two leaders who both clearly want to talk but recognize the deep gulf that separates them. That from the New York Times. Alan, go ahead.
Well, the thing that occurs to me is the art of the deal is on display here. you know, Trump has always taken the position of a bully. He's the tough guy. He's going to keep raising the odds and raising the stakes. Now he's playing against some other good poker players who really know how to do this. And they are. And we don't really know who everybody is. So, for example, we do know that in the case of North Korea, China is playing an awful lot of cards here. We do know in the case of South Korea, we are. Jimmy Carter comes out today in the papers and says, if Trump can pull this off, he does deserve the Nobel Prize. It's kind of interesting.
Who said that?
Carter. Carter. Yeah. And he does deserve the Nobel Prize because no other past president has been able to do that. So, there's a lot on the table here for Trump. And I think he has to pull back a little bit, which is what he's doing, because the bluff, as we say in poker, didn't work.
Well, it's difficult when you're playing poker and you're the president of the United States and you're holding your cards backwards so that everyone can see your hand before you lay your first bet down. And it's also difficult to take the position that you're taking when you've already gotten the commemorative challenge coins printed for the occasion. I think he demonstrated a desire and a willingness to check that box much quicker than he should have. The other issue is, you know, I believe that there was a resignation by the leading expert in his administration on North Korea several months ago, and I don't know that there is an ambassador that has been appointed yet for South Korea. So my question for this administration is, what kind of intelligence did you have prior to arriving at this decision to have this historic meeting? And, you know, if you didn't have the appropriate intelligence before, how much intelligence were you gathering throughout this process so that you wouldn't look like you're about to have egg on your face as that date steadfastly approaches?
Well, and it also goes back to who was being sent over, and that was Bolton. And so what was his strategy that ticked off a lot of people? Making references to Libya. And what happened in Libya? Nothing good. So I think that's obviously really problematic in Trump's strategy right now is, in addition to just the rhetoric, I mean, this is a far cry from fire and fury that he came out with in the beginning of this campaign. So, and then there's just the science of the whole situation. You know, what does North Korea have in terms of its nuclear sites, and what's happening today? They're got a bunch of journalists over there to witness the destruction of a site. But if you look at the science of it, it's mostly a useless site. No one's going to be able to look at evidence of what that site could have told us about, like whether North Korea is enriching plutonium or uranium.
They're not allowing experts, just reporters.
Yeah, exactly. We're not all scientists, and we're not going to be on the site. So, you know, what gains are going to be made right now? I think it's a lot of stalling.
Well, and you had mentioned, well, you were sort of guffawing over the, or rolling your eyes, I guess, more accurately, over the use of the word groping, but they're of groping for a strategy. But to Jen's point of sending over, of having Bolton do this, but then prior to that, it had been Mike Pompeo. And I don't get a sense, and maybe you can all disagree with me here, but I don't get a sense that they're even on the same page.
No, they're not on the same page. As a matter of fact, I think John Bolton is a peaceful character. I think it's his mustache that's evil, and sometimes it just takes over.
You're going there, huh?
I'm going there.
All right.
No, but it's you know, you mentioned the administration not speaking with one voice as it pertains to one country. They're not speaking with one voice as it pertains to their foreign policy. I don't see how on the heels of tearing apart the Iran nuclear deal, you can then go into negotiations with North Korea and, you know, try to negotiate for a paring down over a gradual step of destroying their own nuclear program. I don't see how you can achieve those things, but it certainly looks like that's where we are right now.
Well, I don't see how you couldn't. You had to tear up the Iran deal in order to have any kind of constructive conversations if they happen with North Korea. You had to disabuse both North Korea, Iran, and kind of the rest of the world, that that was the kind of unilateral, unverifiable deal that we would ever do. You had to do that. You had to take the tough position that they took just even recently on Iran, just to kind of show people where the baseline was going to be. You could not have had any kind of constructive conversation with North Korea while the Iran deal was still in place. And I think everybody knows that. And then I do agree with
you're suggesting that the Iran deal was a failure because you're looking for the gradual slowing down of their nuclear program, and you think the better option is to have a guy like Pompeo talking about war with Iran?
First, the Iran deal was a failure for a number of reasons, demonstrably. I mean, you only have to look at the numbers and see the 200 million going to Hezbollah that suddenly changed into 800 million, and the first couple of purchases with the Iran money were for basically satellites and rockets, but for all the reasons
and planes,
that the Iran,
I believe, too.
Domestic
planes.
Yeah. Yes. To Airbus to try and strengthen ties with France and the EU in general, which is one of the reasons why the EU is worried about the breakdown of the Iran deal. But the Iran deal was a failure for so many reasons that you needed to make clear that that was not going to be our policy going into North Korea. I think Pompeo actually had a series of constructive discussions. I agree with you that Bolton, probably overspoke. You're right, Libya is not the thing to bring up. Although, up until the time of the so-called Arab Spring, we actually were in a fairly good state of détente with Libya as far as nuclear weapons. I mean, there had been, there was verification, there was elimination of the weapons. The Obama administration decided to side with France and contribute to the taking out of Gaddafi. I'm not sure that was the wisest move. And I agree with you, it was not the wisest move for Bolton to bring that up. I think Pompeo actually has made some good progress, and I think Trump is handling it the right way.
I'm sorry, but what about David's very good point, which is this is the United States' credibility. We make an agreement, and then we just break our agreement. What about continuity? What about the fact—
Are you still on Iran, you mean?
Yeah.
First of all, the United States did not make an agreement. The United States, if the United States had entered into a treaty— supported by Congress, that would have been a United States agreement. We all know this was an agreement made by Barack Obama, which was not.
Why is he never President Barack Obama? By you guys, he was president.
Do you guys say President Trump a lot?
No,
No, because there's a good reason for not doing that.
Also, there's just not that many Obamas. It's not like you have to say, I was talking about the President Obama, not, the guy who played left field for the Mets or something,
Red Sox.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We have some letters. We'll talk about this and other stuff. We welcome your thoughts, panel at WAMC.org. We also welcome your contributions and your help for our lockbox, which desperately needs it. This morning, we unveiled that we are giving away undated lawn tickets to Tanglewood. This is always one of those big giveaways during the fun drive, and here it is. It's finally come. What you've been waiting for. Your dreams have come true.
And do it before they're gone.
We only have 500 pair. So
and tumblers.
Please.
Silver and, with the WAMC logo in black.
Okay, so but the other thing which would be great, wouldn't it, Joe, if we could make between we have how much in the bank now? It was about $271,000. If we could get that $30,000 before this show is off the air, that would be phenomenal. And we should keep everybody informed, right, Joe, about exactly where we are.
272,062 right now.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if we could? If we could get that $27,000 right now, if everybody could do something?
WAMC.org, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We could just give you a couple seconds to go do what you have to do. We have things that we have to do, and we'll be right back.
Operators are standing by.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Jen Smith, we have David Soares and Rich Honan with us this morning, and a lot to talk about, not the least of which is our lockbox and the fact that we are starting to give away tickets today, this morning, just moments ago, for Tanglewood undated lawn tickets. That is ultimately good for 24 different performances at Tanglewood, which is really
basically the whole summer.
It is. It, in fact, very good point there, Alan. And let me just find the dates. But June 24th to August 26th. So that's your core of summer right there. And it's so for the BSO programs, including the Tanglewood on Parade, as well as the Boston Pops, it doesn't get better than that. Undated lawn tickets. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Now, what we started the morning, I think, at $270,000 in the lockbox. We would like to get to $300,000 by the end of this program at 10:30. Also, let us just point out that the ultimate goal is $500,000, which gets us an amazing challenge.
Yeah, the Spitzer Challenge, the Spitzer Foundation Challenge, $25,000 if we can do this. And Joe, you make a very good point. Yesterday I opened an envelope and there was $5,000 from somebody. There are those people who can do it. There are those people who cannot do that kind of money. But well, whatever you do, think about this. You know, $1,000, Joe, let me just say, is $3 a day. Is WAMC worth $3 a day? Or what are some of the newspapers cost these days? So.
$1.75.
Yeah.
All right. And also just
and they don't compete.
And just a reminder that you can also we try to make it very, very easy for you. You can do it monthly, you can do a weekly donation. We will set it up with you anyway. So if you wanted to do $365, yeah, we can do it over time and make it very easy for you. So
so much a week.
That's right. So we'll work with you. We'll work with you. Yeah. WAMC.org is how you do it online. 1-800-323-9262. Where?
Operators are standing by.
Thank you, David Soares. All right, here's some letters from Alan Chartoff.
Okay, Jamie writes, political humor. Sometimes, especially in this day and age, we must remember that no matter how hard we laugh, there is nothing funny about our political situation. Enjoy the day. Makes a point.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. I agree, although I think our comedians and our satirists are doing an amazing job.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be Saturday Night Live or Colbert or Seth Meyers or Trevor Noah or Samantha Bee or the list goes on. It's some amazing stuff coming out right now.
Mike says, Cohen, pardon? Question mark. Good morning, illustrious panel. Quick question / concern. Why would Michael Cohen or any other under investigation flip on Trump if he has the power to pardon them anyway? Two question marks, two explanation points. I am very worried about the presidential pardon powers stifling this investigation. Thanks for Mike. Well, Mike, you sure are right about that. I mean, what can I say? There is, of course, and it's been on the table all the time, the idea that he would. I also have believed from the very beginning that he was going to fire Mueller, and I still believe he's going to fire Mueller and Rosenstein because he's going to have to.
Well, what's interesting here, and that's a good question from Mike, but you can't pardon someone who has yet to be convicted. And I think that while most people are focusing in on that actual process, let's remember that, you know, you have a gentleman here who is being investigated, who I'm sure right now is draining his bank account every single day in paying for representation as this investigation proceeds. That is a hardship that will compel some people to cooperate. So the idea that there is a pardon down the road, if you're Michael Cohen, you're not thinking about anything down the road. You're thinking about how much I'm paying my legal representation right now and how much am I depriving my family of income.
Well, far be it from me to question you about this, David, but wasn't Nixon pardoned for all crimes by Gerald Ford without having been convicted of anything?
Well,
yeah, but to David's point, the damage was kind of done by then, right? It's not like Nixon was celebrating the pardon. I mean, he had resigned the presidency by then. So the fact of the investigation had taken its toll.
Well, yeah, but I was just saying, how can you say that you can't pardon somebody unless they've been accused or convicted? In the Ford case, he
and
Unindicted
co-conspirator.
Yeah. Okay. That's all very good, don't you think? Mike says, conspiracies? Question mark. What?
No, I just don't, you think?
Yes.
Okay. Is it me or is Donald Trump heavily into conspiracy theories? First, it was the Bertha movement, for which there was no evidence that Barack Obama was not born in the U.S. Then there was the unfounded charge that President Obama had Trump Tower bugged during the campaign. Now, in what seems to be another unfounded charge, that the FBI planted a spy in the Trump campaign with the objective of maybe sabotaging the campaign. I was fascinated, by the way, if I can just say that when Rudy seemed to back away from that a little bit about the embedded person in the campaign, and I'm no respecter of Rudy, that's for sure. So is there any credence to the spy charge? The spies have to be most inept in history because Trump won and Clinton didn't. I'm beginning to believe this is centered around the fact that Trump lost the popular vote, and what's worse, he lost to a woman, Mike Farinell from Glens Falls.
Well, I think the big picture here is understanding that what you're seeing in the daily rants on the television or in the media, it's not designed to convince anyone about the truth of the matter that the rants assert. It's designed to continue to pound into the consciousness of the American public that this investigation, in their minds, is a sham. And they're delivering that message, and they're doing so effectively. You don't have to believe it, but what you have to do is look at the polls and look at where it is that Republicans who tend to view Fox, where they are in terms of what their opinions of Robert Mueller. And you'll see that this constant waging of this media campaign is, in fact, working. Now, Rudy comes on day one, and he makes this outlandish assertion. The media is running with that assertion for 2 days. And then he comes back on day four, where he tends to backtrack. And then the media is running with the backtracking for another 2 days. So their strategy is very effective. It may not be effective to people like us, but it is having an impact on public opinion.
Okay. And then another letter from Bob, who says, New York City's mayor has asked the police department to stop arresting people for smoking marijuana on the street. David, I'm wondering what the effect would be on Albany's police if you announced that your office would no longer be prosecuting such cases. Is that something you might consider?
Well, as it stands now, Albany police, with their effective use of the Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion, also known as the LEAD program, they're doing a much more effective job of taking individuals who are, you know, committing low-level offenses and diverting them into treatment. So as a result, our numbers on marijuana arrests have significantly diminished. However, that doesn't apply to the use of marijuana when someone's operating a motor vehicle or to the marijuana when people are barricading houses and selling marijuana out of the house. But I myself will be asking members of the Albany County community to share their thoughts about marijuana enforcement. As you know, Canada is on the verge of decriminalization, legalization. We have Maine, New Hampshire. We have Vermont, Massachusetts, that is going, I think this July, they're going recreation,
right.
And then New Jersey. So in terms of the state of New York, we're surrounded by this movement. It's not going to do us any well to continue to take this approach where we don't want to be last, we want to be first, we want to be best.
Well, Cynthia Nixon has called for basically legalization of marijuana, and the Governor Cuomo, who was against it, is now coming over to the Nixonian, pardon the expression, model and saying, yeah, we have to do something like that. So clearly there's a certain popularity of the concept.
Is she going to push him to the left?
She already is.
Yeah?
She already is. There's no question. And he is calling out the troops like nothing I've ever seen before. We see in this morning's Albany Times Union, I believe, that Biden will be endorsing him. Hillary will be endorsing him. Now, the question to me is whether or not that helps or hurts. I mean, I think Biden is a very popular figure. I think Hillary is a more divisive figure and more establishment figure.
Even in New York, though?
Well, I don't really know the answer to that question, Rich. I think there's some fatigue there.
Yeah. I do. I think there's some fatigue.
Yeah.
Well, and I think if you look at what's happening in the midterms, in comparison, is really interesting about, you know, where people's party lines are standing and what their thoughts are in candidates.
And if I may interrupt, or just because we're almost at the break point here, we are seeing primary elections in which established moderate Democratic candidates are being beaten by progressives. And if that happens in New York State, if people say, enough of this stuff, you got Cuomo, you got his people around Joe Pococo, you have his staff and the rest, he's collected all of this money through funneling through this, what would you call it, the idea that people are paying to play, that maybe, and by the way, she's cutting into his lead, and it may be still substantial, but you never know.
Well, I think it's reflective of a much greater national Democratic problem. I mean, here you had two candidates. One you could say was very traditional, and here you have a gentleman from Bernie Sanders who had this message that captivated young and old, that energized
exactly.
this party. And so you would think after what we've just experienced very recently that we would know as Democrats that the message that's going to win is one that resonates with people, and not just Democrats, but with all people. It's going to be pocketbook issues. And we still have a Democratic Party that I think is so entrenched in tradition that it just may fail to...
It's still a very divided party since the elections. I think you have a lot of different groups in between. And I think that until they can find a more unified voice, mission, purpose, and where they're putting their monies in their mouths, you're going to have all these quote unquote upsets or these changes.
Yeah, you could have upsets, and I know that we're really getting close here, but I have to say that we have a DA election in Berkshire County right now, in which the establishment appointed its guy. One guy quit early so he could be appointed. The Berkshire Eagle, your paper, has editorialized mightily on that issue and decrying it. So there you get another example of establishment. And all of a sudden, the candidates who are running against the establishment candidate are gaining traction.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We have letters. Don't forget the lockbox, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Wednesday morning. It's the 23rd of May, 7 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock, and we welcome you to write to us. We'd love to hear what's on your mind. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We are working very hard on looking to fill that lockbox, and we have already made well over about $6,000 so far,
yeah.
And we would love
not
to...
Not enough.
No, not enough. No, we need more. Near more. We would love to get to the 200 and... what do we say? 300?
We really like to get to the $300,000.
Yeah, so we need $25,000 in a half hour is basically what we need. But we need you is what we do. Whatever we can put into it right now is money that we make now. We don't have to make later. What is exciting about this morning is that we added in the undated lawn tickets for Tanglewood. So any of the BSO shows, any of the Boston Pops programs, you can go to those undated. You can go any one of those. $100 for a pair of tickets for the lawn at Tanglewood. There's no more beautiful place in the world.
There isn't.
You can go there, help your public radio station. Thanks to our wonderful friends at Tanglewood for making this possible. They're always there for us. And this is one of those premiums that people wait for. So.
Yeah, they call us up. In the other drives, when we used to do it the other way, they used to call up and say, when are the Tanglewood tickets coming? I mean, literally ask you that. Now they're here.
They are here, so
and they won't be forever.
That's right. We started off with 500 pairs. Those have already moved, so that number is different now. But you still have your chance, so do it. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262.
And what's the status of the operators?
Operators are standing by.
Yeah, they're always standing by.
And don't procrastinate.
No, don't procrastinate because we if we do this now we if we because if you procrastinate and we don't get the. We don't get the $25,000.
Joe, I just have a
challenge.
Question.
Yes, sir.
I'm sitting here. I'm listening to the word undated. Now, I just want to make sure that there's a distinction here between.
I'm sort of worried about where this is going to go, but
go ahead. You can bring a date, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Of course.
And then you can stop by Alan's blanket.
Or just find a date, find a date there at the blanket.
Stop by my blanket.
Undated was me most of the time during college.
Oh, you like Tanglewood? Oh, 2 weeks later they were married.
1-800-323-9262. Did your college experience vary?
Mine was very similar to yours.
Very undated as well. 1-800-323-9262.
As well as all the years after that as well.
1-800-323-9262. As David says, operators are standing by. We also welcome you to do it online, wamc.org. All right, let's go to letters.
Okay, Julia says, Trump's vanity. It's clear that President Carter understands the importance of substantive negotiations with North Korea, and his Nobel comment is simply an appeal to President Trump's narcissism to keep him in the game. Regards, Jules. That's certainly possible. Margaret says, pardoning Cohen. Isn't Cohen being charged with state crimes? I thought the president could only pardon for federal crimes. Please explain. Well, David,
that's correct. He is being charged with state crimes, which I think was strategic in and of itself to avoid the possibility of the pardons.
Well, the guy who they, what's the guy's name who got arrested yesterday? Okay.
The Prince of Medallions.
The Prince of Medallions, Yevgeny Friedman. Yes, and he was done in state court. But I thought there was, are we wrong about this? That I thought that there were some federal crimes that Cohen might be charged with.
Ask Miss Underwood.
There you go. That's right. You're referring, of course, to our acting attorney general, a very good person. I myself am holding out to see Preet Bharara running in this AG primary. I think he would be superb, but we'll see whether he does it.
So, I'm voting for David.
David, sure. And well, you should. And so that's Margaret. And Betsy says, hi, panel. Rich states everyone knows that the Iran deal was a bad one, but he has no evidence to support that. And there's plenty that shows that it was progress. Obama had a great success with the Iran deal. Trump can't handle it, so he nixed it. He's now losing his chance to beat Obama with the Nobel. Aw, shucks. It's only nukes, after all. Thanks, and that's from Betsy. Okay, and Catherine says, Iran deal.
No response from Rich. Okay, go ahead.
And then Catherine says, Iran deal. Please ask Rich to give us a few of his many factors which he thinks were wrong with the Iran deal. Go ahead, Rich.
No anywhere, anytime inspections, no visibility to military sites, no linking to anti-ballistic missiles, no human rights aspect to it, an upfront payment with no kind of graduated payment along the way to ensure compliance, no congressional approval, that's it for now.
Well, you know, I don't agree with you. I think nobody, and I've seen an awful lot of testimony to this, has said that Iran isn't keeping its side of the deal. And what, so when you say no,
what is its side of the deal? Iran does not break the deal until it actually it explodes a nuclear bomb.
It's literally nuclear, you know, weaponry production. And you know, when I see you know, conservatives and Republicans bash the Iran nuclear deal because it didn't account for, you know, ballistic missile testing or production, it's kind of ridiculous to assume that a nation who lives and occupies the worst community or the most challenged community in terms of war would begin to scale down all of its, you know, defense mechanisms for purposes of this deal. I think the focus was on the halting of and production of uranium in order to slow down their nuclear capabilities. I think the other thing that's a benefit that was a benefit here is the fact that you had other nations involved and there was real opportunity here to demonstrate to this nation that they could actually be brought into the 21st century in terms of their infrastructure, technology. Those were all going to be incentives that you were hoping, or at least the thinking was, would incentivize the younger culture of this community to change from its traditional, very conservative, anti-democracy posture that it's maintained for all of these years.
Well, and I also think that, you know, regardless of the regulations, I think it was something that was part of a peacekeeping process. It was part of a diplomacy process, in that they're bringing people to together and having talks about it. You know, you can definitely argue the effectiveness, and but I think it's ridiculous. You can't expect any country in the world to stop their nuclearization process, because we live in the world that we live in. It's not going to happen with North Korea. I think there's a Georgetown professor who said there's no fairy tale ending in either case, and I think that's, you know, there's great merit to that.
Yeah.
But what we saw with the Iran deal in practice afterwards was we saw unprecedented amounts of money going to Hamas. We saw unprecedented amounts of money going to Hezbollah. We saw Iran spreading its military reach, you know, into Syria and into places beyond. And we didn't see and we are told that on the streets of Iran, and this has got to be secondhand, that the people are unhappy because they didn't participate in any of the largesse of the deal, and there wasn't the kind of I think kind of, you know, capitalism that. Maybe the administration had hoped would kind of bring people
into
the
fold. And there wouldn't be, as long as there's the disagreements that there are between the Saudi Arabia, who we back, and other places, and Israel. So it's all enmeshed together.
And I you know, again, I'll state for the record here, I think part of the thinking here was also that in time, with the kind of exposure, with the kind of, you know, resources coming in from especially our European partners and jobs, that would have helped to modernize the not only the infrastructure but also the thinking of its youth, who I think were on the precipice several years ago of revolting against the current regime. So bringing about regime change, you know, internally through a democratic process, I think was also part of that. And now we won't know.
And no, and I think that was a laudable goal. And look, to be clear, I think it's the having the conversations was the proper thing to do. I think getting to some kind of deal was the proper thing to do. One of the things I keep coming back to, though, is if the deal had made any type of real sense, it would have been presented to and approved by and debated.
You're not going to say Congress. Please don't say
that,
Congress.
Look, you know what that Congress was up to. You know what Mitch
McConnell
was up to.
Well, then you have to change the Constitution. Oh, if you guys like the Constitution, change it. But as long as we're living under it, you have to obey it.
Congress can't agree on a topping for a pizza right now, much less
And David, look at
especially
the response.
Those Republicans who are out for blood. With Obama, they were going to do nothing for Obama during that time, whether it was, as Rich says, good for the country or not. They weren't going to do it.
Well, I think the problem in wheeling and dealing with either of these situations, whether it's Iran or North Korea, is that there's no clear plan. We keep talking about a deal, but what's the deal? What's the plan? What do citizens from any of these countries get out of what's being negotiated? And I think that's the problem. We're not seeing any articulate proposals of what's next. If the current Iran deal was terrible, what's next on the
table?
What
was there to replace it?
And I think in both sides we've seen war declarations essentially and demands. You look at what Pompeo's demands were, his 12 demands, and that's pretty warlike.
Yeah, Pompeo's demand was a joke from the moment he uttered it. But I want to go back before Pompeo and say that officially recognizing the United States capital in Israel, right?
In Jerusalem,
and making that declaration early on sent a message to the rest of that community about where America stood. And so I don't understand how you can do that and then at the same time tell Iran that they've got to, you know, they got to stop with their ballistic testing and their military research there, as we have, you know, wars that are flaring up right now in that community.
Did you ever consider, though, if Iran had acted in a different way following the deal and had not continued and increased its warlike presence, that maybe the United States could have had a different attitude towards Israel? And by the way, I don't disagree with what the president did in Jerusalem. And, you know, this whole idea that we can do whatever we want so long as we don't offend, you know, the Islamic fundamentalists is just an idea to which I don't ascribe.
You know, we have a lockbox here at the station. We have a tinderbox in the Middle East.
Always have.
And
always
that,
have, David.
And I don't understand why we decided that we were going to light a match and throw it in there. When no one else has. But you know what? I'm confident that Jared Kushner will take care of it all.
Okay, we're going back to the letters very quickly. If Nixon wins upstate like Zephyr Teachout did and could do better, much better than in the city than Teachout did, which she could that upset the Cuomo apple cart? Yeah, the real question is, what will the rank-and-file voters in New York City do? Right, with Cuomo. It's the Cuomo name that they've always been respectful of and the rest. So that helps him. His $31 million, that was a month ago. What in the world does anybody give you $31 million for if they're not looking for influence? I'm so sorry about that.
Can she get more? Can Cynthia Nixon get? I'm asking you because I know you guys know this stuff. Can Cynthia Nixon get more downstate votes than Zephyr Teachout?
Is that? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. No,
she's kind of part of that liberal intelligentsia.
Yeah.
She's from the city.
Liberal intelligentsia.
Well,
deep state.
That's my first band in
intelligentsia.
We probably was undated. We political scientists always look at questions like, you know, groups. So Cynthia Nixon is, of course, lesbian and is announced that and is. Cuomo has done a great deal for gay groups in terms of legislation. So if you are a gay person in New York, are you likely to support Nixon or Cuomo? Interesting question.
Yeah,
right?
But I don't think you can count on that anymore.
I don't
think you can count out just because they're a gender, a part of a certain group.
You don't think?
I find it offensive. I found it offensive when Lieberman was running for vice president that people thought I would vote for him just because he's a Jew and I'm a Jew.
Right.
I find that offensive.
Right. I agree with that, especially where he was running and what he was and how he was running. But you're telling me that the black turnout, because this is demonstrable, it wasn't greater because Barack Obama was the candidate?
Well, I can say that I always count on the chubby black vote, which is reflective of me. It's reflective of me. So I'm
Richard,
you have that demo locked up.
Richard says, Democrats, dear panel, the Democratic Party needs a party platform that is easy to read and understood and not any longer than a New York Daily News front page. And like the Daily News, it should be bold, exciting, and captivating, says Richard. Martin says, Clinton's endorsement of Cuomo is reflective of why she lost the election to Trump. Establishment uninspired and numb to the political winds. Progressives are winning all over the country. New York has an inspiring female in capital letters, progressive on the ballot. Instead, she endorses the establishment bully who allies with the Republican when it suits him. We need a new class of leaders on the left. And Diane says,
By the way, that's kind of well said, don't you think?
I do.
That last letter?
I do. And President Obama's the subject line says, thank you, D.A. Soares, for addressing this issue of many news media and general public never calling our most recent past president by his rightful esteemed title president. I view it as caused by conscious or unconscious bias and prejudice, racism. And that's from Diane. And John says, Rich's argument against the deal, well, factual or non sequiturs. The agreement was focused on narrowing and halting a nuclear program. By all accounts, it has or had succeeded. Then to argue that the president, who has wide constitutional authority over foreign policy, does not speak for the nation when he makes agreements, quote, because it is not a treaty, is hogwash. I'm all for intelligent debate, but I want to hear recycled inept recycled inept Fox News arguments, as can get more than plenty of that.
Unfair. Yeah. Unfair.
And do me a favor. Read the Constitution, then come back. We'll have that conversation.
Oh, operators are standing by.
Yes.
Okay. And then there's a rather complicated, we have a couple of things to do real quickly, so I'm not going to read it.
Okay,
thank you.
Excellent. All right. So the couple things that we have to do are to remind you that the lockbox is open. We need your help.
Tanglewood tickets are on display.
Yes, they are.
And the vacuum construction prevents condensation from forming on the outside of the Tanglewood.
I just want to know how the Republicans are going to run on the greatest tax break ever given to the wealthy, as well as the rollback of Dodd-Frank.
Yep.
Yep.
In the midterm.
In, well, you brought the show to a screecher halt, David, but thank you very much.
Yeah, that but was, the Dodd-Frank thing is even Barney Frank this morning was on NPR saying, well, yeah, some of the smaller banks got hurt very badly.
Yeah, but then you have Volcker coming up,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, right. Okay, go.
All right, so you know what? We're $1,200 away from making $280,000, which means we would have had, which
terrific
means we
day
would have made a lot of money. So if you can do that, that would be great. It's undated lawn tickets for Tanglewood. We had 500 pairs. We have far less now. So if you want them, now's the time to do it. WAMC.org.
Operators are standing by.
At 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC.
Goodbye, Philip Roth.
323-WAMC. Philip Roth was died at 85. We will remember him in our next half hour. We have an interview that I did with him in 2008.
I remember when he was here.
And so we'll run that in a little bit. A very sad literature is taking quite a bow here with Tom Wolfe and Philip Roth. So we're losing some of our great literary heroes.
I was riding on the subway reading Portnoy when a rather elderly lady lurched across, grabbed the book out of my hands, and threw it on the floor and said, "That's disgusting."
1-800-323-9262 to help out the Lockbox Fun Drive. It all helps the Lockbox. WAMC.org. We'll be right back.